Well, Ulysses, it's come to an end. The 14-game home winning streak is no more. I mean, I guess they still had 14 straight wins, but they took the L tonight, unfortunately.
They did. So that home win streak comes to an end. However, there's a new streak that starts today, and that is a new Locked On Rays segment that you won't want to miss starting right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Zambrano.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to the podcast on YouTube at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other traditional podcasting platforms. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays and email us anytime, lockedonrays@gmail.com. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays lose 5-0. First shutout of the season for the Rays and first home loss. Double whammy. It didn't quite meet our criteria for a clunker. I think that would have to be a 7-8 run loss deficit, if you will. But it certainly felt that way. That's usually the way it is when you deal with a shutout. So there's that.
You know why it felt that way? Because we've forgotten what it is to lose. And that's going to sound cocky to other fan bases, but I don't care. Look at our record, 20-4, man. Like, it's true. Rays fans have not experienced a loss, so maybe this one like has a bitter taste to it, especially when you know that you want the shiny 14-0 record to keep going to 15-16.
Yeah.
But it had to come to an end. We all know baseball. We know that it's not going to be 81-0, so it had to come sometime. Yeah. The unfortunate part is I think it seemed to be a pitcher's duel. For 4 2/3, you know, of the game. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be nice. It's going to be a 1-2-1 game, 1-0. And then the wheels came off in that fifth inning for Drew.
Your boy Drew Rasmussen, he didn't get through 5 nor 6, didn't pitch into the seventh, only 4 2/3. What gives, man?
Well,
you promised more.
I promised 6 1/3, and you know what? After the first inning, I was like, oh, that's not going to look good. And then he did the Drew Rasmussen thing, which is like, it's okay. I had a complicated inning. I'm going to get my pitch count in order. Don't you worry about it. And he did. He was averaging, by the time the fifth inning had started, he was around 16 pitches per inning, which is fantastic. Like, that's exactly the kind of pace that you want. And after striking out, I think it was Maldonado to start the inning. Then what was it? Double, 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 single, fly out, single, double. You know, it was just a mess. But that's going to happen. And the line looks worse than it was. I think it's, you know who he reminded me of? I'll give you a little trivia. Who is a starter that the Rays had that would be amazing for 5 of the 6 innings that he would pitch, but there was always one wrinkle inning that you were like, oh man, it's happening every start?
Oh, that is a good question. And how recent did this individual pitch for the Rays?
This individual pitched in the World Series for the Rays and in the playoffs as well.
Which World Series? 2020 or
2020?
And he was a starter?
And he was a starter. And he's still pitching to this day. And he had an option that was denied.
He had an option that was declined by the Rays?
Correct.
Man, it's too late to be thinking about this. Which player had their option? Charlie Morton? Oh, yeah. Charlie Morton. Right, yeah.
Charlie Morton, he would have a great outing, but there was one problematic inning. And so that fifth inning when the wheel started to come off, I'm like, damn it, this is a Charlie Morton outing, isn't it? Like 4 beautiful innings, get out of trouble, and then that last inning, and he had to leave. I mean, he allowed 9 hits, right? 6 of them were in the 5th inning. It was just a disastrous inning, and it came kind of quickly. So I think Cash didn't do anything wrong there by leaving him out there. I mean, he's your guy. Right. I don't think the onus was on Kevin Cash to like pull him early or anything like that. I think it happened to be too quick, you know.
Well, frankly, the Rays, I don't believe they have an off day until Monday, and it's going to be bullpen city day, tomorrow's game, Wednesday's game. You got to have somebody that can eat some innings or eat some pitches, eat some outs for you at some point, and yeah, might as well make that Drew Rasmussen if you can't. I got to tell you, after this game, you go back, go to YouTube, watch the game recap. Every highlight or low light will just be that fifth inning that fifth inning where the Astros smack together 5 runs. It's just going to be Rasmussen hanging cutters and throwing middle fastballs and the Astros taking advantage of it. That and Wander Franco's amazing play at short and him getting a double. That's going to be the entire 8-9 minute clip. In fact, I don't even know if there will be 8 or 9 minutes worth of highlights for that game recap that I love watching, by the way, and I highly recommend. But yeah, it's just going to be solely, if I had to imagine, focused on that fifth inning for the Astros.
You know, and I'm sure there are going to be a couple strikeouts here and there that they're going to show, maybe him getting out of the first. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if that condensed game highlights go to 7 minutes, I'd be surprised. But yeah, everything happened in the fifth, man. He was mowing them down. I know the first inning looked a little bit shaky, but everything else after that was fantastic. I think even I don't remember if it was the third or the fourth inning where he got out of it with 7 pitches, man. I mean, he really was churning it around. And then, like you said, leaving pitches down the middle of the plate, flat cutters that they weren't doing their movement like he wanted. And hitters are going to do that. They're going to capitalize on your mistakes.
Especially a lineup like the Astros, even without Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. These guys get paid too. They're pros. They're very good pros at that. And sometimes a starter isn't going to have it for every inning, every pitch, every at-bat, and things can go off the rails. So I would fully expect and fully imagine that Drew Rasmussen will lick his wounds and pick things up 4 or 5 days from now and be in a better place. If you had 32 perfect starts from Drew Rasmussen, you'd be looking at and staring at the 2023 Cy Young Award winner. There's going to be bad starts mixed in. There's going to be at least a handful of porous starts, for lack of a better term. It's going to happen with everybody, quite frankly. And if it doesn't happen to that guy, then that guy's probably going to finish, you know, top 1, top 2, top 3, top 5 in the Cy Young voting, if I had to guess. So there's that. I'm going to throw this out there. Little prop bet action. Again, we mentioned Wander Franco. He's really the only one of the very few positives we can talk about on the Rays side of things. He hit his 12th double of the year.
Yep.
Do I have that correct? All right. Yeah. I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to say over more than 40 doubles this season.
I think that's chalk right there. I think it's 40. Like Randy last year. I mean, that swing of his, it's just so easy. He just looks so comfortable when he makes contact like that. It's so nice to see. Let's talk about maybe a defensive issue that we had today in the outfield. How'd you feel about that Randy almost missed catch? Like, I don't know if it was the lights. I don't know if he misplayed it as in like, oh, that's coming right at me. And then he's like, oh, maybe I have to jump. Oh, I really have to jump. Oh, that's over my head. And that kind of put Drew in a little bit of a spot right there.
That can be a game changer and a deflator for sure. And I think that maybe Randy wasn't expecting that from, I don't even know the guy's name, Corey Jolks, whatever, you know. So, it's one of those things where, you know, one bad misplay can kind of derail a situation. Normally, the Rays defense does a very good job of picking up and helping in uplifting the pitching staff, but that wasn't the case. And usually those types of plays and actions or misplays, you see it from the opposition and National League teams in particular that aren't used to managing the confines of the Trop, but it was very out of character for Randy and the Rays defense in that respect. So
yeah.
So, all right. So there's that. L's are going to happen. They're going to happen on the road. They're going to happen at home. This team is not going, 140 and 22, whatever it is. So we have to have that reality. And I also mentioned this, Wander, I'm taking the over on the 40 doubles. I'm also taking the over on him having a 2020 season, 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases, assuming that he can stay healthy and assuming that he can be in the best shape in the dog days of August. But I'm very bullish on Wander Franco and what he can do this year and in future years as well. We have more to discuss on this episode, but first we have to tell you about our new sponsor called So Rare. It's a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So head over to SoRare.com/LockedOn. That's spelled SoRare, SoRare.com to draft your team of free player cards. Set your lineup and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's SoRare.com/LockedOn to start playing today. We also want to tell you about FanDuel. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet for up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up, place your first bet, and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. So don't miss your chance to get a no-sweat first bet for up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, LockedOn, to sign up. FanDuel, an official partner of Major League Baseball. I got to say this before we get to this new segment. I was thinking, and this is very self-involved and very braggy, but the Rays losing at home feels like my high school and college years when I didn't get an A. It's like, what happened? I'm so used to getting A's. I'm Mr. I know. Straight A over here. I got a B plus. What the heck?
God, I'm so happy you understand that. Like, when I would get like an 88, I would just be so ticked off, man. Like an 88. You took me out of the A, you son of a gun. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, when I got my first C plus in pre-calculus honors for, wasn't even the semester. I think it was a 9-week quarterly report card.
Yeah.
You would have thought, I don't want to make this analogy, but that the world was ending, more or less. That get a tutor, you're destined for failure. You're going to be
going to live in the streets now. Oh
yeah. You're going to be pre-calc, are you kidding me? And all that, which could happen eventually. You never know, but that's kind of what the cards were playing with here.
But I know we have to put up a little bit of a, okay, let's look at the silver linings for today. Well, I have a few silver linings here. And well, it's maybe not a few silver linings. It's probably just one bunched into different individuals. How about the stable though? Props to Hembry, 1 1/3. No hits allowed, only one walk, two punchies. Poche with a clean line for one inning. Jalen Beeks only allowing one hit in one inning. Jason Adam, same thing, one hit in one inning. That's fantastic. I mean, they really were able to just put together four and a third innings of clean baseball, giving their offense a chance to come back and hopefully do something. So they did their job. The bullpen and the stable, they did their job. The issue was the guy on the other side, Luis Garcia, was amazing. He was amazing. That breaking ball that he was hitting at the top of the zone. I mean, I think the umps were giving him like a couple inches, but that's what you get when you start to paint early. Right. When you start to control and command your pitches, you're going to get those edges. And that's exactly what happened with him. And Rays players were not able to capitalize on those pitches. I mean, he was really terrific.
Yeah, after a couple of crummy starts there to start the season, he is really settling in, whether it's the new windup and approach and so forth. His line, six innings pitched, seven strikeouts, two walks, no earned runs. That's kind of what we wanted from Drew Rasmus, and alas, it didn't happen there. So
yeah, no, and again, I know this is not a fully loaded, you know, Houston Astros team. It's still a really good team, people. Like,
I mean,
you take Jordan Altuve out, you still have to go through Abreu, Bregman, Pena. Dubon is like, what, 20-game hitting streak now? 19-game hitting streak? He's being ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mention Tucker. Kyle Tucker. You know, your doppelganger.
My doppelganger, yeah. Underrated player, if I might add.
I don't think that's true anymore.
No?
You think he's still underrated? I don't know. Drop it in the comments if you think he's underrated or just rated right.
That's fair.
I don't think he's overrated, but I think he's just people know about Tucker now.
People possibly.
Know. Yeah. Before we get to our new segment, which I am so thrilled about it, Kevin. I'm so thrilled about it. This is a way to vent. And for you, Rays fans, for Locked On Rays fans, you're going to vent with us and you're going to drop it down in the comments. So it's very interactive. Before we get to do that, I have to tell you about Ultimate Baseball GM. Pro Baseball GM is the coolest game I have played in a very long time. Okay. You've dreamt of being a baseball GM, Kevin. I have also. Mm-hmm. And I know that if you're watching us on YouTube, guess what? You also have dreamt of being a baseball GM. And you can do so when you download this game. It is challenging. It is realistic. It is completely free and playable offline. And guess what? The best part about it is that you get to do everything that a GM would do. You can hire the right coaches and staff, manage the team finances. You can scout, draft players, manage difficult personalities, navigate through free agency, for example. All the ups and downs of a season, you can do that during this game. So today, Locked On Rays listeners, you will get a 100% free boost to your franchise when you use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON in the game store. So make sure to check that out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, or guess what? 2023, look it up in your app store. I know you guys can do that. Again, that's probaseballgm.com. Anyway, Ultimate Baseball GM, start your dynasty today.
Okay, let me say this. This is maybe my hot take as to why I think Kyle Tucker is slightly underrated and he gets a little bit of the Tampa local bump, if you will. But over the years, he's been overshadowed by Jordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve and Michael Brantley and then Carlos Correa and then Jose Abreu comes along, Alex Bregman. It's just name after name after name. The Astros go out and sign Jose Abreu. So when people talk about the nasty, disgusting, intimidating lineup of the Astros, he's like the sixth or seventh guy mentioned, not even getting to the pitching staff either.
I don't agree with it, but I see where you're coming from. I don't agree with the sixth or seventh ranking But I could say that, yeah, when you think Astros, you would probably say Altuve first. If you're talking about the lineup, Altuve, then you go Yordan, then you go Bregman, and then I think you would go Tucker. I think he's fourth.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe just over the last couple years, there's been a couple other names that you would throw in.
Yeah, that's
before
fair.
Before getting to him. That's fair. So, regardless, you came up with an idea for a new segment. We'll see how it goes, see if people like it. And let me throw this out there. If somebody, if you're a listener out there and you have an idea for a segment or a potential topic, let us know. We're always open to that. We're not, we won't disregard anything necessarily. So this was, I don't know how you thought of this, Ulysses, but more than welcome to have you take it away with this.
I have been thinking about this segment for a while now. Why? Because you know I hate anti-social media. By the way, that's trademarked by Kevin Weiss. Every time you say anti-social media, he gets 2 cents to his bank account. So
I could use that 2 cents right about now. So
we all, in this economy, baby, we all would. Okay. So I've been thinking about
this. I'm about to open my own chicken coop and, you know, farm eggs that way, quite frankly.
Let's go to Ocala. Gosh darn it. Anyway, so I hate anti-social media. I'm still, because of the podcast, have to be on it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I truly detest is going into Mark Topkin's tweets and seeing these asinine replies from people that are just either casuals or trolls. This is how they think. And so guess what? I'm sick of it. I'm putting a spotlight on you guys. Enough. Enough is enough. And I'm not being really mean because we are hiding your identities for your sake. But these are just bad, awful takes. And so this segment is called Mark Topkin Reply Guys. Okay? Topkin Reply Guys for short. Okay?
TRGs.
Yeah, the TRGs. So this is these are the TRGs of today. Let's start with this one. So this is an article, a tweet that Mark Topkin posts about how Rays Wander Franco made that amazing barehanded catch versus Astros. And this guy goes, Stu Neat starts spending cash with the, just first of all, dude, where's the two?
Yeah, no capitalization, nothing. No punctuation. The tweet wasn't even related to the article. And look, we can get on Stu and the penny pinching and so forth, but this is not the time or place, considering that the article, that the focus of the article, Wander Franco, Stu Sternberg, didn't he just unload a Brinks truck to give this guy, you know, anywhere from $182 to $220 million?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Kevin. Yeah. You're right. Just bad take there. This is another one. So it says, Razor sending impressive rookie starter to Tash Bradley back to AAA, yada, yada, yada. You guys can read that. And then this guy goes, what does he develop there that he can't develop here? Kevin, can you take that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole purpose for the minor leagues, is the games don't really count or don't really matter and they're less pressurized. So if Taj Bradley needs to work on a particular pitch, be it a cutter, a curveball, fastball location, the place to do it is in the minor leagues, not where the games quote unquote count in the majors. So, hey, Taj, this start against the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, I don't know, or the, just pick a random AAA team.
Sure.
We just want you focusing on fastballs. We don't care about the result. You shouldn't care about the result. You should just be focused on execution.
But Kevin, you're being way too nice to this guy. Okay. Look at the tweet itself, people. In big part, to transition him to a 5-day scheduled as part of continued development. What does he need to develop there? How about let's start reading comprehension?
Right. Yeah.
How about let's do that, Mr. Yeah. Whatever your name is. Don't like this guy. Okay, next. We've got Christy Eichert at the Chop today for your Rays news and updates from game versus the White Sox. And this person goes, do you know how many people were at the game today?
Yeah, see, again, not, I guess, quasi-related to Topkin's tweet there, but is Topkin, I guess maybe he has over the years made himself the attendance aficionado and
yes,
the, you know, answer to all attendance questions, but like he doesn't have anything better to do, or Christy Acker doesn't have anything better to do than, you know, making 50 replies to people asking about what the attendance is. Again, if you're on Twitter and you're able to tweet something that quickly and rapidly, you could just as easily, I imagine, go to the Google box or go to the MLB app and it's right there on the box score what the attendance is or expected to be. And it really shouldn't be that important. Just take a little look-see around, whether you're watching the game in person or on TV, and you could probably ballpark it and say, okay, there's probably, you know, 20, 22, 23, 19,000 fans, whatever it may be.
First of all, if you're a fan, what does it matter? Number two, if you're watching the game, you can eyeball it. And number three, if you're able to tweet something to Mark Topkin, who, by the way, why would you think that he's going to answer that asinine question that is very easily attainable if you just go to MLB.com or you go to the app in the box score? It's right there, people. It's right there. So I don't get that, because also that's the same person that would go and reply to Topkin when he says, oh, well, on Tuesday's game, there were 9,916 people. I was like, why do you have to, you know, name the attendance, man? Like, what is it then? What do you want?
Because like 200 people are asking about it for some strange reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you keep a database, an Excel sheet with all the attendance people? Come on, let's be serious.
Yeah, okay. It's really funny. Like, just the people that have, for all I know, it could be a bot, but the people that have this time and energy to push something out like that, I don't have two spare minutes to do that.
I'd rather,
there's so many other things that I'd rather do with my, you know, 45 seconds or 60 seconds to put together that tweet that, you know, have to know some part inside of you isn't going to generate a response from Topkin. You know, he's not live chat. He's not some online service representative here to visit your every whim or question.
Why would you think that that's the type of question that he would answer? Like, wouldn't you want to be like, hey, I want to stand out with all these tweets so that he can read mine or reply to mine? Okay, here's another one. Fourth strikeout of the night for Rays Bilal and in six innings. This person goes, I know you guys are so in love with Brandon Lau, but I can't stand watching him anymore. He can't hit. Don't mind the 7 exclamation points right after he can't hit. Really? He can't hit? He can't. What were you doing on Friday evening? Were you happy? Did you celebrate that home run?
Yeah.
Oh, do you not like his 130 WRC plus this whole year? Did you not like when he hit 5 home runs in 6 games that he started? One awful night. Yes, it was awful. Make any adjective that you want. That doesn't mean that he can't hit. This is an asinine take.
Right. Yeah. Again, maybe if he added he can't hit ... in the playoffs, like, I would have more credence for that because Brandon Lau hasn't shown that. But look at what he's done thus far this season and over the course of his career. I mean, he's the one Rays player, one Rays position player, I guess one Rays player on the roster as well, in totality, that's put together a 5-WAR season. So again, I know that people get caught up and frustrated in the moment, but you gotta
take a breather before tweeting.
Think before you tweet.
Breathe before you tweet, you know? Exactly. Just take a breather. Okay, and the last one for today's segment, Topkin says, Rays coming up in the ninth, trailing Astros 5-0. And this person goes, lose again tomorrow and there will be all sorts of questions. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, sir or madam. 20-5, that's a lot of questions. That's a lot of questions. Like, how good is that pitching? Isn't it remarkable that there are 15 games above 500? Isn't it remarkable that on April 26th, they've swept 5 series already when they swept, I think, 8 last year? Yeah, a lot of questions. What is this?
It's really remarkable the way people, again, I guess they're fans for a reason, fanatics for a reason. It's one of those things where, again, some common sense and some levity, I think, to sports could do a lot of good. I'm just telling you flat out, the Rays are going to have a 4, 5, 6 game losing streak somewhere over the course of this season. Oh. It may be this week. It may be
this week. Yes.
Today, tomorrow, and the next couple games against the White Sox. And you know what? They'll be fine because it is an extremely long, drawn out season.
I think a lot of these people that get really into the losses are football fans, to be quite frank. They're That's just possible. Football fans and they're casual baseball fans and they don't get the grind of 162. However, that's all we have for this TRG segment, Top Can Reply, guys. Yeah. If you are listening to this podcast or watching, and I know if you're watching, you're hitting that subscribe button right now and that like button so that we can reach more Rays fans like yourselves and help us beat that algorithm. It's a very difficult algorithm, people. So help us out.
Yeah. It's like navigating the Amazon. I mean, I'm just whacking down trees and, you know, avoiding poisonous snakes. It's a mess.
It's a mess, people. So with this TRG, drop it down in the comments if you liked it. And if you did like it and you follow us on social media, either Twitter or Instagram, DM us with your TRG. Be like, this guy, look at what he had the audacity to say. Just screenshot it, DM it to us. And you know what? We'll put it on the show.
And you know what? Going to that last comment there, I'm going to say it right now. I don't like the Rays' chances in Wednesday's game. You've got a bullpen day. I don't know if that means Josh Fleming, an amalgamation of a couple guys, but Hunter Brown, watch some highlights of Hunter Brown. You think Taj Bradley's good? Hunter Brown is something else. I have future ace written and circled and highlighted on this guy. Change up, nasty. Slider, nasty. Fastball, he's got basically two variations of the fastball. He's got the power fastball top of the zone, and then he's got a tailing fastball as well. That's not too shabby. And curveball, nasty. Take a look at him. You look up his bio. You see that he's from Detroit, Michigan, and just his mystique, his aura. It looks like he probably listened to a lot of Eminem and Kid Rock growing up. Like, he's got the Motor City vibe all mixed in. Just,
and
a tough blue collar kid, if you will. But he's something else. And I think he's going to be a very, very special player. And you're going to be talking about him for a very, very long time if he stays healthy. So,
and being from Detroit,
I don't like the race chances.
And being from Detroit, he watched a lot of Justin Verlander when he was growing up. And he does have some similarities to Verlander when he's on the mound. Of course, he was a teammate with him a little bit last year. I agree with you. Not great chances. They've already said Calvin Fauché is going to open the game on Wednesday. He will start for the Rays. And then Topkin also said that you can expect Josh Fleming to get in on that action.
Again, I'm calling it right now. I hate to be the very bad news, but the Rays are going to have a losing streak here. Losing streak of two, but it's going to be,
I'll take the over, but it's not going to be pretty. They're going to win, but it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a messy game. They're not going to be happy for a while.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, just take a look-see at Hunter Brown and he's got the demeanor, the bulldog mentality, and built kind of in a mold of Drew Rasmussen, not stocky per se, but just thickly built, like a Rasmussen or a Nate Eovaldi at 6'1", 6'2", 215, 220 pounds. So just a little food for fodder there. All right. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. We'll be joined by Evan Klosky, Everydayers. You should know what that means. People love the segments, the episodes with Evan Klosky from WTSP. Always a fun time. He's got his mind on a lot of things, Tampa Bay Lightning, NFL draft, whatever else is going on in the sports world. Hard to pay attention with baseball season going on, but that'll be a good, fun episode as well.
And it'll be a Friday episode, correct?
That is correct. We will be pre-recording it before Friday, but that'll be published on Friday. That's two inside baseball there.
Yeah, and so no Thursday episode. No Thursday episode, folks.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You listen to repeats. You know, the days, I know we're running long here, but when we don't have a regular episode like Thursday, that's a good time to catch up on some of our prospect, player, special guest interviews. Listen to our interview with Curtis Mead. Listen to our interview with Kyle Manzardo. Listen to our interview with David Sampson or Kevin Goldstein or Cody Decker.
Just Mason Auer, Trisha Whitaker. Yeah. All of them have been tremendous and very generous with their time.
Yep. Very true. All right. Thank you all for listening to us. Hope you all have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you on Friday.